You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Since the inception of the Nobel Prize, there have been a total of 923 Nobel laureates. Only 50 have been women, out of the total 631 Nobel Prizes awarded for exceptional work in areas of physics, chemistry, and medicine. Only 20 have been awarded to women. The Fields Medal, regarded as the highest honour a mathematician can receive, began in 1938 and so far has a total of 60 recipients. In 2014, Dr. Marianne Mirzakhani became the first and only female recipient. And it's not just awards in academia. This year at the Academy Awards or Oscars, only four women won an award in categories not specifically designated for actresses. In the history of the Academy Awards, which spans over 100 years, only one woman has ever won an Oscar for Best Director, and that was Kathryn Bigelow for The Hurt Locker in 2010. But the relatively low number of women winning prestigious awards isn't a reflection of the total numbers of women employed across these fields. Dr. Kristen Splinter is an engineering professor at the University of New South Wales and a member of the coastal geoscience and engineering community. Along with other researchers from the Committee for the International Network Working for Women in Coastal Geoscience and Engineering, spanning Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, France, the United Kingdom, Mexico, and Spain, they published a report that details some interesting findings about gender representation in their field.
I've noticed it myself in engineering. The sort of lack of females sitting up in these more senior roles in terms of organizing conferences and on journals, and although people were telling us that things were getting better, it wasn't really clear to us on if that was actually the case. And so what prompted this study was to actually dig down into the data and see whether or not our assumptions that women were underrepresented in these key roles was in fact the case, and then to also get information from both men and women in terms of peers, if how they felt it was going for women in the field, and whether or not men and women equally felt either advantaged or disadvantaged in their career and how they sort of saw themselves in their career path.
Women make up nearly a third of coastal geoscience and engineering. And while Dr. Splinter recognises that this number could be greater, she believes that the bigger problem is how gender is represented within existing fields and how opportunities to advance are managed.
One of the key findings that did come out was that, yes, even though we represent women about 30% of, let's say, the cohort that makes up all these large bodies, we don't represent 30% of the more senior roles. So in some cases, some of our journals, our prestigious journals that we have in our field, none of the people who are in those roles are actually female, wherein some journals are doing quite well. And same thing we found with conferences and some of the other ones. And so some of that got linked back to the journals or the conferences that had more female representation tended to be ones where they also had, instead of an appointment process, so friends can appoint friends, we'll say, they had an election process or an open call. So if I wanted to potentially nominate myself for a board, I could. And where women were allowed to nominate themselves or be nominated, they tended to be more equally distributed based on the number of makeup of females in there.
These findings go beyond Dr. Splinter's field. Looking at statistics from the 50-50 by 2030 Foundation, the percentage of women in high-ranking roles across fields is staggeringly low. When we look at women in university leadership across Australia, only three states, Victoria, Queensland and New South Wales, have female vice-chancellors and chancellors. Overall in the country, only 15% of chancellors are women and 34% of heads of schools or faculties are women. According to University Rankings Australia, University of New South Wales has the lowest female enrolment at 46% of total students enrolled, but the highest number of students in both undergraduate and postgraduate engineering degrees. Even so, the vast majority of major universities in Australia have a definite 50-50 split, with the Australian Catholic University coming in at 76% total female student population. With relatively even numbers of women undertaking tertiary education, it leaves us with the question, what happened after graduation? Why aren't these numbers represented across high-ranking industry positions and awards? The Women in Coastal Geoscience and Engineering report found that there were four main factors holding women back. The most prominent was the gender stereotyping of women as not being competent or not being taken seriously. After that came the existence of so-called boys' clubs in companies with higher number of male employees, then discrimination against women who are mothers or pregnant, and the belief that a woman's job is affected by her having children. And lastly, incidents of microaggression and harassment at work. Dr. Splinter says that the research was a wake-up call for many within coastal geoscience and engineering.
So I guess for one, it was a bit of a reality check for people working in the field. I think some of us thought that there was more of an issue and others didn't. So I've, since this article's come out, I've received emails from male colleagues and ones that have been editors on some of these journals to, you know, sort of say the results are a bit surprising and, you know, a little bit damning, but at least it's out there now and we can, you know, we can see what the data was telling us. But they were really, one of the key things that they all sort of said positively was this paper also pointed out ways that we can help improve it. So rather than just pointing out the negativities and showing that, you know, things aren't good, sort of trying to also say, well, here are the things that we can do to help. So we should be advocating more for women in these prestigious roles and, you know, promoting them and getting more awareness out to gender bias. And so once we start, I think, that conversation, there'll be more ways of improving it.
While Dr. Splinter and her colleagues have started making steps towards a change, they recognise that equality in gender representation is an ingrained problem and that there is no quick fix solution.
Some of the things that we are doing with the Women in Coastal Geosciences and my uni does some of the other things as well, is actually understanding that this is a long process. We're not going to solve the problem overnight and it's going to take time for us to really build up that base.
Dr. Splinter says that advocating for more women in prestigious roles, speaking up and creating awareness are the first crucial steps on the road to solving problems in representation.
We are advocating to get more girls interested in science and engineering. Getting more females and more female role models, I think, is another big aspect of it. I do a mathematics prize where I go to primary schools here and get to go at the end of year celebrations, and I stand up and give the maths award to the best students in the class. And I started doing it a couple years ago, and at one school they said it was so great to see a female giving up and giving this award, because for so long it's always been a man giving it, and you've just sort of opened up the ideas to all the girls sitting in the room as well that women can also have these roles and have that job. And so getting more of us out there doing those sorts of engagement, going into high schools, going into primary schools, and showing them that we have these cool jobs and that they can do them if they're interested, I think will really help promote that in a more longer term aspect and allowing us to be more mentors.
Dr. Splinter and her colleagues hope that the message will go beyond just science and engineering to resonate with other industries.
I guess I would hope that the results from this study in a broader sense are applicable beyond coastal geosciences. This issue with gender equality or gender equity isn't specific to our field. So even at my own university, we may have 50% males or females in medicine, but we might only have 20% females in engineering. So how you up some of those. And so some of these aspects that have been listed in terms of how we can improve it, I think, can be very generic. If you have other women helping to promote women, and even more so when men help promote women and bring them into, you know, committees and meetings and help speak up for it to ensure that gender equity, we start to see change, and it's a bit of a snowball effect. And the more and more it becomes the norm that you see a gender equitable committee sitting there rather than a token female sitting on it, and people always question why that person's on there. So I think all those steps can actually be much more broad than just our discipline.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.